The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer in the hizzy.
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Easy, easy getting to work this morning. Totally easy. Been here for a long time.
I did drive by the stadium. Oh my gosh, the amount of Super Bowl stuff.
Yeah.
That is just there in that area now. It's incredible.
The F1 New Year's Eve Super Bowl trifecta continues.
Yes. Yeah, it really does. I can't believe how many structures and stuff are needed to build around the stadium. It's not like there's a ton of room there either.
We will be here, Kelly and I, Super Bowl Sunday, up till kickoff of Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the Niners. And then what's your plan? Are you watching the game here? Are you racing home? What are you doing?
I have no idea. I didn't have a great plan last weekend. I didn't have a great plan the weekend before. The weekend before, I ended up sitting right here watching. Last weekend, I made the dash on Sunday. I made the dash home at halftime. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes.
I think I'm probably going to be hanging, man.
I think you're a hanger. You'll definitely hang. We're looking forward to it. Can't wait for Super Bowl 58. Full Super Bowl programming that day right here at VSiN. Today on the show, Drew Dinsick will join us here momentarily. Talk both NFL Championship Sunday gone by and, of course, Super Bowl 58, what he's playing thus far. And we'll also talk to the third member in 3 weeks of the three-man weave crew, Matty Cox, the last of the three to he'll get the coach trust or not coach list. Gives us a third and final opportunity to do that with a three-man weaver.
See, pass or fail option.
That's right. Matt. We start with the annual Super Bowl PSA of a prop. So I've done a podcast pretty much since the Eisenhower administration. When the advent of the technology came out. And the very first year that I did it, I had an offshore bookmaker on, which at the time was pretty amazing to be able to get. And he was at one of these rando offshore sportsbooks, but he was willing to answer all these kind of questions. And the question I asked at the time was, and I've reminded everyone of this sort of answer every year for the new bettors or newish bettors, what is the prop, what is the Super Bowl prop that flummoxes bettors the most year after year? And very quickly he answered, either team to score three unanswered times. Either team to score three unanswered times. And let me say the caveat of this is available everywhere now. It's available at DraftKings and everywhere else. The caveat of this is when it's three unanswered times, it does not include extra points or two-point conversions. Those do not count as part of that counting, okay? So his point was that the yes is at minus 165, sometimes even higher. You'll see it higher. You'll see it in the minus 170s, maybe even minus 180. And the no is plus money. And the new better or the new-ish better immediately thinks to themselves, either team to score three unanswered times. I mean, that's got to be a yes. Right? I mean, that's got to be a no. That's got to be a no. Plus money is no.
And I'm getting plus money on it.
That's got to be a no. Because after all, this is the best team in the AFC and the best team in the NFC. They're not likely to score three times in a row. So I'll obviously take the no at plus money. Well, the answer is that it happens all the time. And that is the one that sort of flummoxes bettors the most. Now, there's going to be, at some books, either team to score four unanswered times. That would be appropriately priced with the yes at plus money and the no as a heavy favorite in that. But just for the new folks who are somewhat new to this, first year, second year, betting props around the country, betting Super Bowl props, the yes is not the, you know, yes is appropriately priced at minus 165. The instinct ought not to be immediately to bet the no at plus 125. That's not to say that it might not be a no.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's priced accordingly.
It could happen. I think that's the big thing I think when people look at it, right? It's the pricing. It's, oh, I can get plus money on this?
That's the reaction, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely one up there that, I mean, I would have said me probably 10, 12 years ago, definitely fell in this trap a couple times too, where you, even when you know it, you can talk yourself into making this no bet too. And you're kind of like you just hinted at, where you're like, well, these teams, this team, Team A is so good and Team B is so good. There's no way they're going to end up doing that.
I would also say historically now, as the years have gone by, more head coaches are aware of the opportunity of a double dip.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Which wasn't the case 10, 11, 12 years ago when I first started doing this podcast before being on radio, where it's like, oh, that wasn't part of the common knowledge to do.
That's a massive point, actually.
Massive point.
That is massive.
Yes, because that's two right there if you're able to succeed on that. Other thing we want to get to, because we do have Matt Cox on, talk college basketball later. From the beginning of time on this show, we've also done our college basketball formula. Kelly, others are doing it now too. Imitation, the sincerest form of flattery. Imitation.
Yep.
Not duplication. Here is what we have talked about for years and years. This is tried and true now. The last 32 champs, the last 33 champs in the NCAA tournament have had more assists than turnovers. That's a very easy criteria that we have used all these years. 32 of the last 33 champs had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience before entering said tournament. The only exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies with Kevin Ollie as their head man. That was the Shabazz Napier-led Huskies version, if you recall, not the Kemba Walker version. 27 of the last 28 champs went into the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. That's how long we've been doing this, that we use RPI from so many years ago, but we stay true to it. The only exception, what do you know, the 2014 UConn Huskies. Last 28 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. We've had a few teeter on that. 20 of the last 21 champs, going back two decades only on this one, we're in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies were the exception there. They were number 39th in adjusted offensive efficiency, and they won the title. And then 20 of the last 21 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. The only exception there, Baylor in 2021. They were 22nd, just missed it, in adjusted defensive efficiency. So you ask yourself then, all right, buddy, great formula. Who qualifies right now this year? You have six teams that qualify currently: Houston, Arizona, Auburn, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Purdue. Three teams just on the outside looking in: BYU, UConn, and Kansas. We'll talk to Matty Cox about the coaches for all those teams a little later on. Plus, we'll throw in some extra coaches as well. Kelly, NBA MVP talk.
Mm-hmm.
You have some thoughts here with Nikola Jokic as the short shot.
Yep.
Once again.
Yep, once again, he has moved to the short shot. Joel Embiid missing another game last night, so those games missed continue to tick up for Joel Embiid. So we saw a major move in the market yesterday here. Jokic now down to the short shot, plus 115. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number two, plus 350. Joel Embiid plus 450, Luka Doncic plus 650, Giannis plus 850, and then everybody else is 50-1 or longer. So just to go through this quick, we are through Joel Embiid now, 37 games remaining, has to play in 32 of them if he is going to qualify for this award. We're at the point, Gil, yes, we talked about this a little bit last week.
Can't bet him.
You can't bet him. We talked about this last week. I mean, it is... You're in the range now of serious danger of him being missing out qualifying for this award. If he qualifies for it, he's gonna win it easily. It's just, it's hilarious that they
easily, would you say?
Yes, I think easily.
Easily.
I think easily. It's just hilarious.
So it's so amazing because Nikola Jokic is like 26.3, 12.1, and 9.0.
No, it's insane. It's insane. But it's also
his third best point average, his second best assist average, his second best rebounding average.
Yeah. But you know, he's scoring less than he did in the 2 years that he won the MVP. It's still ridiculous stats to say about Nikola Jokic, but that is true.
By the way, interesting how you've now heard, now that the moment has passed where he didn't get his third consecutive MVP, how some players and some former players admit that they wouldn't have voted for him because they don't want him in that hallowed ground of the rare few that have won three in a row.
Yeah, this is, and I'm really hoping we don't get this year what we ended up getting last year of the kind of makeup for the year before. So we go and give it to Jokic this year just because we now all collectively think he thought of, we should have gotten it last year, even though we gave it to Embiid to make up for the year before. It's gotten so silly with these two. They are so good. And I think this year there are more guys for us to actually talk about. I made a bet a couple weeks ago on Giannis. We talked about that when he was like 16-1, I bet him. I added more on him over the weekend at 10-1. I think his numbers and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's numbers are very comparable to when talking these other guys. Real quick, Shai, I'll just run through 31.3 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 6.4 assists, 2.2 steals, 65% true shooting percentage, plus 9.7 EPM. That is third in the NBA. And then seven straight 30-plus point games for Shai. He is the guy on a team battling for first place in the Western Conference. I know it might be Oklahoma City, so it might not be very sexy, but that's just the case. Could have been in first if they won that game last night. And then you got Giannis, who right now he's gone back a tick. When we talked about this a week ago, he was having his best scoring season of his entire career. I think when you look at what he's doing, and that he could end with the most amount of points per game and assists per game that he's ever had in a season, this guy's odds should be a lot shorter, a lot closer to what you're seeing everybody else at. And Luka's the one that's, we've joked about this for 2 years now, where these odds just are still way shorter on him than they should be. It feels like Pryor's going back to two seasons now of whenever we start the season to look at his MVP odds. They don't really change. He's putting up great numbers. The team's in seventh place in the Western
Conference. Well, that's the problem, right? Nuggets 33-15, OKC 32-15, Bucks 32-15, Mavericks 26-21.
Yeah. So I'm going to play the game here of trying to circle Jokic, basically, and that is, play everybody around Jokic, Jokic.
Oh, no.
I've played Giannis. I have no interest in playing Luka Doncic. I have played Giannis at long odds. I think at double-digit odds, he's still a great bet. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I added on at plus 370 over the weekend. The weird thing here is, Gil, is basically the shift yesterday, they just shifted Jokic and Embiid's numbers and didn't touch anybody else. So there's value betting in this market.
If Jokic was a more mouthy guy, do you think this would be different? He doesn't care. He just doesn't care about any of this.
It might be.
At least outwardly. Drew Dinsick is next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
A-N-G. That's A Numbers Game. A-N-G.
Get your first year of Visa Pro Access for only $199. Sign up today at Visa.com/subscribe. Kelly tries to trip me up now every time with that little tag at the end. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on everything. Jason H11, can't wait for the Lifestyle Megapod tomorrow. The Beanie the Book Vegas Lifestyle Megapod. The best part is always the list of the best steakhouses, Italian burger joints, and favorite sushi places. Well, yes, that last one's pretty interesting, huh? NCI95 Gambler. Thoughts, Gil? Caesars in Virginia. Is it me? But this looks higher than normal for that prop. He's talking about the opening kickoff to be a touchback. The yes is minus 325. I don't remember what it was in previous years, but I can tell you this about Jake Moody. Jake Moody's touchback percentage this year is 60%. 60%. Harrison Butker's this year is 87.1%. That is way higher than his career average, though. I'm doing this on the fly. I'd have to do the math, but those are your numbers for both Moody and Butker. Mario_Las Vegas with a good tweet. He says the large price. Oh, he's talking about. I was talking about the prop that flummoxes new bettors the most is three consecutive scores, and the plus money on the no is enticing for new bettors when in fact it's priced correctly. He says another one. He says the large price yes score in the last 2 minutes first half The large price on the yes score in the last 2 minutes of the first half often gets people, as the no always looks enticing as well, he adds. And from a historical perspective, he says, side note, the Warner interception and then James Harrison's 100-yard pick six was quite the range of emotions in Super Bowl 43 on that one. That's a great call. Thank you for that one, Mario Las Vegas. This gentleman does two podcasts. Count them, two, not one, two. The Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. It's the great Drew Dinsick from the LBC. How you doing? Oh, where are you? For God's sakes, where are you?
Not in Long Beach today. No. Up in Central California. Okay. Out on site. When it has been a fire hose of sports really for like the last 2 weeks with the Australian Open going concurrently with the NFL playoffs, basically now that all that is in the books, I got to get some real work done.
Let's say congratulations to you for hitting Yannick Sinner to win the men's side. Bravo, sir. Oh,
that was an all-timer. I kind of almost just want to talk tennis because it feels so important, man. That was number one. It was an epic match. Anytime you are given a best of five final that kind of lives up to the, you know, kind of the moment that way, it's a joy. I put that one absolutely kind of on par with, Djokovic versus Alcaraz at Wimbledon last year. Djokovic versus Federer in 2019, Federer versus Nadal at the Aussie Open in 2017. Like these were huge moments that had like huge consequences for the sport, and then the match itself going five sets and having so many rallies that were just like truly epic. It was just a joy to watch, and ultimately like. It was a surprise that Medvedev came out with the strategy that he did, playing so aggressive out of the gate there. I agree 100%. That was his best chance to win. And he really, truly almost got Sinner to capitulate. There were moments in that third set where Sinner was telling his team, I'm dead. I can't get this. And, credit to him for just kind of keeping his head down, waiting for his opportunity, and then playing just sublime tennis and, you know, kind of the most consequential points there. And, the final and the outcome was outstanding for me personally, just because I had bet Sinner, obviously. But it's even better for like the state of the game of tennis because, Alcaraz getting two slams so early in his career, if Sinner didn't answer and kind of step into the space to be like a true rival for Alcaraz, I think men's tennis gets a little weird. Where you have this passing of the torch directly from Djokovic to Alcaraz, and no one else can really, threaten. Well, now we have, a nice 5 to 10 year arc here where we get to figure out, who is truly the better of these two on each surface, in each conditions. There's another number of young players who are starting to continue to progress their games to where, we're going to see, see if there are any other challengers who want to throw their hat in and make kind of a new big three here. Medvedev, I think, is still absolutely a factor, especially on hard court slams, US Open, Australian Open for like the next 3 or 4 years. And then the focus really turns to the clay season now. And I'm just dying to know if Rafa Nadal can find any type of form there. If we can, if there's one thing that I would love to really see at the French Open, it would just be like a true kind of passing of the torch moment on clay from Nadal to Alcaraz. And so that's mostly what I'm kind of geared up for now is where are we going to see those matches? Where are they going to happen on the clay swing? And then in the French Open itself, can anyone, can Nadal kind of close like John Elway in the Super Bowl, go out on top? Or is this going to be, it's too much and the field has caught up to him too aggressively. So there's so much positive to take away from this last 2 weeks in the Australian Open. And honestly, the 2024 men's season is set up to be maybe an all-timer.
It's a beautiful thing. Drew is kind enough to come on and do the Beating the Book Grand Slam Tennis Podcast. I enjoy nothing more than that. Like, it is the most hardo, nerdy, Nirvana thing that we do. And by the way, Indian Wells coming up, so I
yeah,
hope,
it's coming
I
up.
Hope we can
Wells.
Do that one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it.
So
we get it's a little quiet between now and then.
Yes,
like, there's nothing that really kind of gets going. Although I do like the Golden Swing. You know, the clay matches down in South America are pretty cool. So hopefully that's entertaining this year. And actually, there's some good players who just showing up in Santiago to kick that off. So it should be a good experience too.
So we're on a group chat of sorts, and Medvedev Kelly is up two sets, and I can see Drew sort of wobbling on the group chat, and I'm like, I feel so bad for him. So then he Sinner wins the third set. I go to bed, wake up to Sinner winning. I guarantee he's watched the whole thing because he had Sinner. So like 2 hours after that match ends, I send him a text. I'm like, hey, congratulations, expecting him to like respond hours later. Drew's right there. I'm like, what are you doing up? He's like, it's Championship Sunday.
He's partying, man.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's start there before we get to Super Bowl 58. What was of all the things that happened, the Ravens game plan, the Dan Campbell decisions, like what's the biggest headline for you in all of it?
I mean, I think it's important to take away that both results were pretty fluky. Kansas City got lucky with the bounces that they got in the second half, and San Francisco got lucky with the bounces they got in the second half. I think both games were probably closer than market thought. And certainly the Lions Niners game was closer than I thought. I was heavy in Niners in that one. I thought that was had potential to be a runaway, but then the Lions came out and they were playing phenomenal football in that first half and absolutely gave the Niners everything they could handle. And it took some truly absurd, and we see this weirdly in championship games at Super Bowls, like the catch off the face mask and immediately getting a touchdown and then a fumble. Like it was a very low probability that the Niners were going to come back, and then the fact that they came back so successfully and so quickly was just a credit to how great that team is. And the major takeaways I had are, there are huge questions going into the Super Bowl about the Niners defense, not only just schematically the failures they had against the Lions, the way that they got pushed off the line of scrimmage, the tackling being so suspect. Like, these are all things that you really have to wrestle with if you want to back the Niners in the Super Bowl. And as far as the Chiefs go, this offense does not look fixed. There are still huge questions about who's going to make plays outside of Travis Kelce. Congratulations to Marquez Valdes-Scantling for catching the one ball that they needed to put that game away in the second half, because nobody else did a damn thing for the Chiefs in the second half of that game. And we're seeing a market that I think is fair. It's telling you that this is roughly a coin flip, slightly Niners, and any of the data you have from the season is going to tell you that's correct. Like it's tough to square the Chiefs being equal strength to the Niners, on a neutral field, but you have to give the Chiefs a pretty sizable advantage when it comes to the intangibles like experience, and you have to give them a pretty sizable advantage, I would think, in the quarterback position. Even though I'm starting to warm up on the Niners in this game, and I very well next week we could be beating the table. Like, are we sure? Brock Purdy's not the better quarterback this year. All the data says he is. When you combine it with the skill position groups and the scheme that he's in, are we really, the better offense is probably San Francisco in this one. But I have a long way to go to kind of finish my handicap before getting involved in this game one way or the other. It's going to be a great Super Bowl.
All right, I'll follow up on that after the break. That Brock Purdy comment was pretty interesting. And then we'll get your NBA thoughts as well. See if he has any NBA picks today. Drew Dinsick from somewhere in Central California. Sounds great, though. He's got the audio set up, everything. Middle of a field out
Birds
there.
Birds are chirping.
Drew Dinsick, what a life. A football life. A tennis life with Drew Dinsick. More on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you haven't already, check out the new VSiN.com. It looks purdy, and it is packed with all kinds of sports betting information. Just a quick glance, Steve Mackinnon shared statistical traits of college basketball contenders. Hey, there you go. Zach Cohen on the Super Bowl. Adam Burke on the Super Bowl. You know what else Adam Burke has in there? A Reba McEntire National Anthem breakdown. So last night, I go deep diving on Reba McEntire National Anthem performances, and unlike other previously scheduled National Anthem artists that are going to precede a Super Bowl, her work is like everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I thought I did this amazing deep dive, no pun intended, with Drew's podcast title. Adam Burke went even further.
He already did it already. Yeah, it was last week.
It's all at VSiN.com. We're going to go over what I had and then what Adam additionally had a little later on the show, as a matter of fact, on that. VSiN.com. Check it out. today. Drew Dinsett, kind enough to join us for a second segment again somewhere in Central California. Whale underscore Cappers, where you can find him, the Deep Dive Podcast with Andy Molitor and, of course, NBC Sports, Bet the Edge. Couple things here. One, care to flesh out that Brock Purdy comment you made? Because I'm sure there are people who listen who are like, wait a minute. Did Drew just say he thinks Brock Purdy was the better quarterback this year? And isn't Drew the guy?
And isn't
Drew the guy that also has come on this show and said, "Look, guys, Pat Mahomes is always the MVP."
Yeah, I mean, I am up in Niner country. I'm up here, up in the hills, where I'm sure some 49ers were staking their claim back in the 1800s, and so maybe I'm being a little bit golden, red and gold colored glasses here, but. No, I mean, EPA per play, Brock Purdy outperformed Mahomes this year, and it was by margin. You go over their careers, obviously Mahomes is better, but, and he's done it for longer, but, you know, certainly when you combine, you know, what EPA per play is telling you, which is, you know, how do you combine the performance of the quarterback with, you know, with what the scheme he's in and the tools he has to work with, Purdy was outstanding this year. And I think, you know, people who are kind of scratching their heads, how could Mahomes be a dog in the Super Bowl again? Like that he's up against a better offense, like just know that. The matchups that I think are, you know, kind of key in this one that I'm the most intrigued to kind of dig into and really kind of make some decisions around, you know, kind of our skill position group for the Niners up against the cornerbacks for the Chiefs. The cornerbacks for the Chiefs proved to be one of the stronger units in the NFL defensively all season. They were unbelievable. They performed kind of a perfect game against a Ravens offense, but that, you know, that skill position group is substantially weaker than what the Niners are bringing to the table. And so this is a huge step up in competition. And you know, if they can't go toe to toe with the Debo Samuels and Brandon Ayuks and George Kittles of the world and CMC out of the backfield, then you know, Niners are going to be able to find some success here. That said, there's a counter argument to be made about the way that Chris Jones is playing and his ability to, you know, create interior pressure, and he's up against sort of the soft spot in the Niners offensive line and the interior there. So you know, Brock Purdy, if he's going to have success in this game, if he's going to get it done, I'm imagining he's going to have to do it on the run. He's going to have to create out a structure, and the fact that you saw him do that in the second half against the Lions, I think, is pretty you know, I guess, hopeful that can happen. So really, I guess the questions all kind of swirl around, you know, what are you going to get out of this Niners offense, you know, strength of their team against the strength of the Chiefs, which is their defense, you know, and I'm not there yet, but I'm leaning that the Niners are going to be able to, you know, raise their floor a bit in this contest just based on the, you know, the matchup advantages, the schematic advantages, and, you know, the quality of play you've gotten from, you know, from Brock Purdy over the balance of the season. You know, the other side of the ball is really, really weird, because you do have two units with the Niners defense and Chiefs offense that have both underwhelmed substantially, considering the talent on those, you know, on each of those teams. And, you know, I think I'm almost going to have to talk myself into just holding my nose and backing this Niners defense, I think. But it's, you know, they should be able to, you know, kind of give a little extra attention to Travis Kelce in this one. And, you know, if they can find any kind of better tackling than what we saw against the Lions, then, you know, if you can, you can limit some of the explosive opportunities for Pacheco, then maybe the Chiefs defense still, or Chiefs offense still is, you know, kind of floating around the 20 point range instead of into the 30s. So, I guess, you know, just for kind of historical context, you're right. Last year's my handicap for the Super Bowl was, keep it simple, stupid. You know, I didn't think we were ever going to get another chance in our lives to bet Pat Mahomes as a dog in the Super Bowl, and yet here we are.
Here we are.
Chance this year. I definitely think I hold this Niners team higher than the Eagles from last year, and so I think this is going to be a tougher test.
I do too, for sure. And I was saying yesterday, it's such an interesting handicap, because on the one hand, if you did the old Jimmy the Greek, you know, T-chart, and you were just doing checks, and I understand football's not played this way, but if you did it quarterback versus quarterback, coach versus coach, tight end versus tight end, kicker versus kicker, defense versus defense, you might argue that all those checks go to the Kansas City Chiefs, but the biggest check of them all would be that San Francisco offense, which, You know, and the other way to look at it is, well, if we made a spread on this game on a neutral site on Christmas when both of these teams got, you know, crushed, the Chiefs by the Raiders, the Niners by the Ravens, at that point, maybe the Niners are a 5 or a 6 point favorite. I don't know. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just there's so many ways to skin the cat on this one. Let me talk NBA here in our last few minutes. Kelly and I were talking MVP a little bit at the top of the show. Do you have a bet in that market? Would you make a bet in that market? Or is there another NBA awards market that you might suggest making a bet in?
Well, the ship has sailed on Wemby, Rookie of the Year, I think. So that one, I think you can pretty much put to bed. MVP is pretty entertaining right now. Obviously, the market, the floor, the trapdoor opened for the Joel Embiid backers. He was, I'm going to say something like +135 ish. A couple of days ago before he was a surprise, did not dress against the Nuggets. That happened on Saturday. And, there were people who immediately went, oh, ducking. He's ducking Jokic again. He does this every year. But honestly, like, they are getting investigated for it. I don't think that if he was actually going to duck, they would have put him on the injury report, as questionable at a minimum. And then, you know, just pulled the plug day of, and so there's definitely some smoke there. There's definitely some reporters, national reporters and local reporters around Philadelphia who are saying stuff that does not sound good about the quality, of Embiid's left knee right now. And I think, he is coming up against the point in time where he's going to have zero margin for missing games between now and the end of the season if he's going to qualify for 65 games played, which is the minimum threshold to be considered for MVP. So, the reason you've seen such an aggressive shift in that market is Embiid's probably not going to qualify. Right now, I would have him a pretty healthy dog to qualify just because I think he can only miss 5 more games. He might miss tonight. We don't know. Marcus certainly pricing that game tonight like he's not going to play against the Warriors. Tyrese Maxey probably goes. Harris probably goes. But I think the Warriors are a bet on tonight. I think ultimately the equity from all of the Embiid support, which again, like, did Embiid deserve to be a heavy favorite? Of course. If he had qualified, he was going to probably be 80 or 90% to win because he was putting up that impressive a statistical profile this season. And for all of that equity to immediately get dumped into the Jokic bucket is interesting. It doesn't exactly feel right. I think there's probably a decent amount that should have gone to Shea. There's probably a decent amount that should have gone to Giannis, in my opinion. And I think the fact that Giannis is still out there close to 10-1 is wrong. He's kind of improving as we're coming into the meat of the season here. Just in general, there is scope, I think, for the Bucks to run down the Celtics for the one seed, and if not, at least have a very clean look at, no doubt, two seeds. So I think Giannis is being a little overlooked here, whereas Jokic may coast through a decent portion of March as he did last year, and just in general, there's more offensive an overall better offensive team with the Nuggets, and then Giannis is doing an incredible amount right now offensively for the Bucks. So I would make a decent case for Giannis in the 10-1 range. And I think, the overreaction to putting all of the Embiid equity directly into the Jokic bucket is a little tough for me to swallow.
Yeah. Giannis +850 at DraftKings, but as Drew says, shop around, you might be able to find a 10-1 out there. Besides the Warriors, then, who do you got tonight? Who have you bet on?
I got Knicks and Warriors for me tonight, going to war with a couple of favorites. It's not obvious to me that the Knicks are going to be at full strength, obviously, but you had OG Anunoby take the night off yesterday. I think he plays today. Hartenstein, I think, is going to ramp up his minutes. And the Knicks right now are grading as one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. Probably I would put them right up there, number two after the Timberwolves. So it's a good team. Anunoby is a perfect fit. He's exactly kind of in the mix for what Thibodeau wants to do. And I think this Knicks price should be closer to 6.
Warriors and Knicks, both 3.5-point favorites, both home favorites on a very small NBA card tonight, just 5 games. Drew's got a pick in 2 of them. Drew, we always appreciate it, no matter where you are. I don't know about no matter where, but 90% of the time, wherever you are, you make the time. We thank you, sir, as always.
All right. Hey, best luck, guys.
You too. Drew Dinsey dancing out on this one.
There you go. Yeah, we don't get that off.
I don't really see a dancing Drew Dinsick. At whale underscore capper, always appreciated. We'll come back. Maddie Cox from Three Man Weave on College Hoops next. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, tomorrow on the show, Kelly. You know who's on the show tomorrow?
The great Steve Fezzik.
The great Steve Fezzik on the show prior to his Vegas Lifestyle appearance. Megapod Vegas, the Beating the Book Vegas Lifestyle Megapod appearance, his first ever on that particular edition.
I was going to say, Steve usually a part of that? He's not.
He is not. Mark Meltzer, here, trivia question. Who's the only person to ever be on the Megapod every year?
Gil Alexander.
Mark Meltzer. Him too. Gil Alexander also. But Mark Meltzer, like Seltzer, every year he's on the Vegas Lifestyle pod. He's the staple. But Fez is going to come on because Fezzik, how can I put this? Cuts corners all over Vegas.
Yeah, seven-star Steve.
Seven-star Steve.
I mean, the guy goes to work out at Caesar's Palace gym every morning. Like, that is, I think that was a good call by you that to bring him on that podcast.
Hey, meet me at Caesar's to work. I'm like, Caesar's? Okay.
It's still the most Vegas vacation thing I've ever heard in this town.
Fantastic.
That he lives south of the Strip and will drive up every morning to go to Caesar's.
I told you we're on the treadmill and he wants to talk while we're on the treadmill. I can't do that. I'm like, Steve, I'm just
gonna, I can't do that either. Stop talking to me. I'm working out.
DP. We had tweets at Beat the Book. DP Bet Sports. I'm like 5 years old on Christmas Eve. Can't wait for the Lifestyle Show. We're looking forward to it as well. Sports books, steakhouses, other stuff through the years that we're too old to talk about now, but when we were younger, we talked about. You know what I mean? Mike Rouse. Good to hear we can get Masters quality background noise with Drew this morning. And Ed Zerolski.
Think about it that way.
Ed Zerolski, Drew checking in from medicinal pot farm in NoCal. All of that is right.
Both quality answers.
By the way, speaking of Fezzik, the best listeners in the game on this show. It really is. Don't miss a detail. The thing about Fezzik also, you know, we're going to talk Super Bowl with him, obviously, on the show tomorrow before the Lifestyle Pod. And one of the big macro statements from him from this Super Bowl, which I think is a point that needs to be made, and again, we have 2 weeks to make all points, when it's close to a pick'em, and by the way, it's two now, so we may never get to a pick'em, but if it does threaten to get close to a pick'em, pro bettors kind of sad about that, kind of get a little melancholy about it, because if you have a pick'em, let's just say it was a pick'em, everything else is easier to price for the bookmakers. And so the value abates at that point as well. So that's just something to keep in mind, you know, macro-wise for a Super Bowl where the line is this tight. But I don't think we're getting to a pick 'em now. Doesn't look like it anyway.
Yeah, DraftKings is a little off from everybody else right now. They're 2-47. They're like a half point off from kind of everywhere else.
Consensus 1.5.
Yeah. More than a half.
Let's talk some college hoops, ladies and gentlemen. Third time in 3 weeks, we get a different three-man weaver. Matty Cox joins us this week. How you doing, Matt?
Doing great, fellas. Reassessing my gym membership as I listen to the Fezzik tales. I'll have to see what's available here in the Chicagoland area. Clearly, I'm not doing it right. I am not doing it right.
Listen. That guy does it right. No one else does it right compared to that guy. Seriously, he will make you.
His bars here. I get it.
He honestly makes me reconsider everything I do here.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? I have missed all these opportunities. I roll down to Caesars now every day. I'm like, free drinks.
You can spend 3 minutes with them, and you get six tips immediately. My life is better.
How did I miss out on this? I don't know why I'm talking like that. Okay. Maddie, at the beginning of the show, and I've done this with your two colleagues, Jim Root, James Patrick Root, and also with Kai McKeon the last couple weeks. I give them coaches, a list of coaches, and it's just trust or don't trust. One sentence on each. I've done it with them. You're the third person. We're going to do it with you. But I'm going to limit it to my college basketball formula, which right now has Houston, Arizona, Auburn, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Purdue qualifying as contenders for the national championship, BYU, UConn, and Kansas on the outside looking in. I'll throw in a handful after that. So let's just start. Trust or no trust? Houston, Kelvin Sampson.
Trust with my life.
Wow. This life.
I like it.
By the way, these will be graded, Matt. These will be graded with verbal assault.
At what point in time? End of year or 5 years?
Okay. Immediate grading.
Oh, right now. Okay.
Immediate grading. Arizona, Tommy Lloyd.
Trust.
Three of you. Wrong answer. All three of you. What's with you three? So why do you love him so much?
We met him at the award show in St. Louis.
That's why.
2 years ago. Also, he's just a good coach. I think I just objectively put my biased friendship, aka one conversation with him aside. I think he's a good coach. He'll adapt this year. Didn't adapt last year. He will this year.
Bruce Pearl, Auburn.
Trusting. I just think the track record of success has grown so strong now. Yeah, trusting. Growing toward the trust side of the
I see. Trusting is not quite trust.
No,
trusting. Developing a trust.
On the way.
Right.
Hubert Davis, UNC.
Don't trust.
Wow.
Don't trust.
God, you guys hate Hubert Davis. Mark that down. The three-man weavers hate Hubert Davis. Let's put that on the picks
page. I like
page.
His rosters. Love his rosters. Love his team.
Rick Barnes, Tennessee. Do I even need to ask? Rick Barnes, Tennessee?
Don't trust.
Okay, thank God. All right, here's the one that's very interesting. Matt Painter, Purdue.
Trust.
Wow. You guys are so aligned.
Yeah, we are. Too much groupthink. I try and be the black sheep when I can, but Matt Painter, I think, will be the Purdue, the Virginia rerun narrative this year. I firmly believe the Purdue hate has gone too far, and they're poised to make a deep run this year. So,
Who's the black sheep? Matty Cox is the answer to that question. All right, three teams on the outside looking in. BYU, Mark Pope, who does not qualify, by the way, in my formula, tried and true because he ain't never been to a Sweet 16 before this. But do you trust Mark Pope?
Big trust. Huge trust. Yes.
BYU's huge getting to the Final Four, aren't they? Tell me they're getting to the Final Four, depending on
the draw,
of course.
I think they got the chops, too. They went to a Princeton offense against Texas and completely completely bewildered that team. Mark Pope plays chess against many coaches who play checkers in that conference, and there's a lot of really good conference in that league. I think Pope's great.
Traore is great, I think, as well for that team.
Yes, he is.
And that's a big addition. Dan Hurley, I don't even need to ask. Bill Self, I don't even need to ask unless you tell me differently. Oh, he had a face.
No, trust both.
Okay,
yeah, trust
right,
both.
I was going to say. All right. Yeah. And let's just take five other randos before we get to your picks today. None of these five qualify. But noteworthy, Nate Oates, Alabama.
Trust?
Okay. It's a question mark
style,
at the end.
Style question marks there. A little style question marks in a tournament setting where you need to be a little more adaptive. I think chameleon-y. I don't know if they're a chameleon enough.
How about playing some defense also? Greg Gard, Wisconsin.
Trust.
John Shire, Duke.
Don't trust.
Izzo, I don't even need to mention. Greg McDermott, Creighton.
Trust.
Okay. All right. That's all I got for you. That's all.
You did fairly well, but
I'm going to have to mark off the Tommy Lloyd part. I'm sorry. A little red ink on your paper on that. All right. What'd you land on today?
I got a few. Market's been active, as it usually has been. God, college basketball betting market has just completely changed this year. It really has. I feel like there's a lot more entrance and early activity. But I do like... Look a little anti-market here. I like Wyoming. Not too far away. Go to Air Force, the Air Troops, as we so lovingly call them. They're playing better, and they're not devoid of talent there. But Wyoming, I know they're coming off that huge, crazy, crazy comeback win, like down 11 with 45 seconds to go. Could argue it's a bad spot, but I think they're trending up right now. Got some guys back healthy. Jeff Linder is in the trust category for me. Just been pillaged by injury the last few years. I think they're the categorically more talented team with sort of a current form inflection stock arrow pointing up. Air Force should not be favored against anyone, in my opinion, at home, even at home against the Mountain West, even against San Jose State. So I'm going to trust my two-second handicap here, and I'm taking the Pokes.
All right.
Back to I see now, yeah.
Keep them rolling. What are the other two?
I got Clemson, Colorado State, and Ohio. At the current numbers, hard to endorse any of them. I know Ohio is up to 15 now. Colorado State got hit pretty big. A lot of these home spots have been smashed by the early money here. But Clemson, fading Louisville is always a good strategy. I know Louisville's had some propensity to make games interesting, as Mike Rutherford says for the Car Chronicle. But I think they're overmatched tonight against Clemson. A little bit angry off that Duke questionable, we'll say, call at Cameron, come back with a vengeance and take it out on the poor Louisville Cardinals, who are not only outclassed, but just outcoached, I think, in this game. So, yeah.
All right. That point you made about a lot more entrance into the college basketball market, we've seen this over the last few years. Are you saying there's a lot more money in early, and so the lines move quicker? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just from what I've seen, I don't have a roster of how many people are betting or anything, right, but it just seems like a lot more of the inefficient lines are straightened out really quickly after the first few books open up. So
you have adjusted and released earlier, basically made plays earlier? Is that what's happening with you?
No, I can't. No, I'm at the back of the line usually, so I got to wait. I got to pick off the scraps, unfortunately. So you got to be right on your smaller subset these days. It's tough to win, Gil.
There you go. Matty Cox crystallizing it right there. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much, man.
No, thank you, gentlemen. It was a pleasure.
At 3MW_CBB. They sure do love Tommy Lloyd over there. Trust Matt Painter. We'll come back. I'm not above talking Reba. I'll do that next. Levitard coming up on DK.